Now on Mitchell's Front Page, Talking Freely with Stephanie Asher.
Hey, good morning, Steph. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Mitchell. And yourself?
Yes, very, very good indeed. And we like to talk about local news on this segment, and there's been a bit of a win for the Drysdale community apropos of something that you raised a few weeks ago.
That's right. I actually thought power of community radio. Hopefully we had something to do with it.
I'm sure we did.
It was great news. Apparently quite a big council meeting last Tuesday night. I didn't go and have a look, but there was quite a few people there, I think, for various reasons. And the council decided to contribute $6.726 million to the Drysdale Sporting Precinct and to start the work a year earlier than originally planned. So that's fantastic news for the community, and well done to Rod McDonald, and Darren Lyons was there as well, and everybody was very happy, I think.
That's amazing, but that's also more than the cost of the Simmons Stadium redevelopment, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Well, there's also $3.5 million from the state government for that area as well. I think the whole plan over a longer period and various phases and stages is around $40 million for that. But then, of course, the Simmons Stadium total is more like $90 million, so
that's right.
It all stacks up. But there was actually quite a few areas around Geelong region that got sporting facilities upgraded and funds committed from the council at the meeting. Drysdale got theirs, Leopold got $2.5 million, Geelong Soccer Club got $750,000, Barwon Heads Football Netball got $225,000, South Barwon Football Netball got $180,000, and the cricket at Barwon Heads also got $100,000, and Shell Road Reserve for improvements in Ocean Grove got $60,000. So it was spread around quite well around the whole region for sport, which is great news.
And we should see that all coming up in about 2 years or whenever they finish construction?
That's right.
Yeah, you've been doing a bit of reading on a bird, apparently, that flies from Russia to Moolap and could be under threat from development.
That's right. This is a story that's been around, it's been around for millennia, because these birds have been doing this for millennia. But there was an article, a letter to the editor in the paper at the Addy and the Age on the weekend, which raised it again. And this is a shorebird, and they have an epic flight from northern Russia and western Alaska every year to our hometown of Geelong and the saltworks at Moolap there. And their little babies, which are apparently about the size of a Mars bar, and just a few months old, make the same trip unaccompanied every year, and it's 11,000 kilometres, so it's a fair effort. And those conditions at Moolap are absolutely perfect, so they'll continue to land in that same spot. And I spoke to one of the fellows who keenly watches this and tests the area, and the conditions are very fragile, of course. Yeah, and he was saying, you know, that'd be like if you've been going to the same spot for generations and generations and generations, and then suddenly you all fly there 1 year and it's not there anymore. What happens? And there is a development proposal, which I think, you know, that they certainly would be aware of it. And I think just the idea of making sure that the conservation elements of our beautiful areas are protected and considered, and if we can work out a win-win, that'd be fabulous.
Yeah, sometimes working out a win-win, easier said than done, but there's always sometimes those opportunities where, you know, if you just move it a little bit, you can actually make a massive difference.
That's right. I mean, disturbance is one of the big risks to shorebirds. I was reading up on it because I took a little bit of an interest, but also there is a precedent with other saltworks being turned into bird sanctuaries as well, and actually Ridley, who owns this one, has done that in South Australia. So I think, yeah, it's an interesting conversation. I remember talking about this a few years ago when I was looking at different visionary ideas, and a bird sanctuary on the a gateway to the Bellarine would be absolutely amazing.
What about Darryl McClure writing in the paper today about this Republic situation, and that most people, according to him, he says, don't really care about whether we're a republic or not? I just think that the political class and the media class seems to be obsessed by it, and this idea that we have to stand on our own two feet. But people out there that are trying to get a job and 6.3% unemployment, it doesn't really matter what our system of government at that level is.
I'd actually completely agree with both you and Darryl McClure. Mitch there, I think it's not something I'm really fussed about. Of course, some people are, and I have a great respect for our history in the one sense, and also I understand that it's not particularly ideal for someone else to have control over our Prime Minister, for example, but I think it'd probably upset a few listeners, but I prefer to see the political focus on other issues. I agree with you. I don't think this is a fundamental topic for us. I think our leadership issues right now are more about courage and common sense and clarity of communication, aren't they?
That's right, and clarity of communication is a big one. A poorly worded media release has been blamed for Friday.
Absolutely. Well, how odd is that? I mean, That has to be the greatest understatement of the week, doesn't it? That it's all about a badly worded communication piece. I mean, press releases are words. They're nothing else. This one I don't think would have even had any figures in it. So it's only about words. So to get the words wrong is a fairly big mistake. I tended to agree with Tony Windsor, but then I wouldn't, because I'm politically independent as well. But he said he thinks it's a deliberate scare campaign to whip up a bit of a domestic fight scene. So I just think this is a bit of a race to the bottom, trying to inspire bigotry and racism. If that's, you know, one of the intentions, it's about as far from intelligent leadership as it gets, in my view.
Well, they said that it was a poorly worded media release. Multiple ministers said that over the weekend. But obviously the media release had to come from somewhere. It had to be someone's idea. It didn't just magically write itself.
That's right. That's right. And if it wasn't checked, well, then that's fairly poor form too.
But it looks very bad when you say that you're going to do something and then it appears that groups like the Socialist Alliance and all that come out, and as they did on Friday at Flinders Street Railway Station, then you backflip on what you said you were going to. It just makes it all look half-baked and not really well-planned.
That's right, and this is the leadership problem, I think, that we're seeing all the time. There isn't anybody stepping forward, and you'd expect it, really, from our Prime Minister to step forward and sort of put to rest some of the dispute and the hysteria, and if it is a storm in a teacup, then get out there and say that and, you know, sort of pull it back into line again. But there isn't any decisive behaviour going on.
That's right. The Dyson Heydon decision is due today. As I think we've said, you just have to wait and see if he's actually broken any laws or not, and he will obviously be able to justify that or otherwise.
Yeah, agree. And regardless of what happens, the Royal Commission does need to continue, I think. Perhaps everybody could be a little less clumsy about things in future, hey?
But as I said earlier, does it need to start again from zero because all the evidence admitted under Dyson Heydon would be deemed to be biased?
I don't think so. I think that's that's a difficult one, isn't it? I mean, there's obviously going to be big debates about that, but I think we can't deny what we've heard and what's already been said and put forward, so I think it needs to be considered.
And I think it also gives a bit of oxygen to those people that are already saying that we shouldn't have a Royal Commission in the first place. Again, watching Insiders yesterday with Dave Oliver from the ACTU, and he was saying this is a $60 million waste of taxpayers' money, and where are the police? And if you think there's a criminal activity reported to the police. So I think people like him would be among the first people to line up and say, we think that all the evidence is null and void.
Yeah, and it's natural that he would say that, wouldn't he? He's vested. So.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, I would expect him to say that, and that's absolutely fair enough. Everyone's entitled to their viewpoint, but you can't say his viewpoint's not biased.
Yeah, well, that's right. Exactly. We'll just have to, again, wait and see what he says. But I just get the feeling that why would he wait this long to just say, I'm going to step down? Maybe he's trying to make sure that his decision is watertight so that it can't be challenged again in the future.
Yeah, absolutely, and I would think that's fairly sensible, isn't it?
Yeah, well, exactly. You can't have it turning into a sideshow. Now, what about the Polwarth and South West Coast by-election? I mean, if you're a member of Parliament like Dennis Napthine and Terry Mulder, and then you've risen to the great height of being the Premier and also a Cabinet Minister, I mean, it must be very difficult for you to just go back to being a regular backbencher.
Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you? Although I'd also think it's partly a relief to some degree, it could be, and also a good opportunity to take what you've learned back to the team, in a sense, and sort of you don't need to lead from the front, I don't believe so. But I gather they've both reached a point where they've probably put in an awful lot over the years, and it's probably time for them to focus on other things.
And let new blood come in, maybe?
That's right. And I was really intrigued when you said you had an idea who it might be, because I must say, when I looked at it this morning, I thought, oh, I have a vague recollection of somebody who was mentioned in that context, and I couldn't for the life of me remember who it was. And I actually Googled and just tried to see if I could find any sort of
join the dots
rumours anywhere. And then when you said it, I thought, oh, yes, of course. Now I know there's only one that has property in that area. So I'm pretty sure I know who it is. So, yeah, that's right.
It would have to be someone who's a bit liberal in their views, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. I'd say it'd have to be someone who's a Liberal Party member, wouldn't it?
Yeah, probably. We shouldn't go any further.
somebody with property.
What some people are concerned about in the Liberal Party, I've heard, has just been what's happened in the seat, for example, in Shepparton, where it fell to an independent, and I think they're a bit, and also the Indi situation as well, where it's also fallen to an independent.
Perish the thought.
Yeah, that's right. That would be terrible, wouldn't it?
Oh, gee. You can only dream.
But they're a bit worried that a by-election is a risky time, because then apparently Labour and the Greens will come out in preference against them and all that type of thing.
Well, they do, don't they? And it is a fairly safe Liberal seat, but I don't know that any seat in Victoria is currently very safe for the Liberals.
That's right. Yep.
So, yeah, it'd be interesting. All of the by-elections are interesting at the moment, much more interesting than I think they normally are. Or maybe I've just become a political tragic like you, Mitch.
Maybe the latter. I've rubbed off a bit on you.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just wonder if it does give the opportunity there for brand independent to get up. And do you think independents are more likely to be successful in a by-election?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. You know, I thought in the last federal election it was the good time for the independents, you know, but everybody said no, so I don't know whether I was, you know, a bit ahead of the thinking or behind the thinking or if really just delusional. I don't think independents really rate very well at the federal level. So
I think Rob Oakeshott and Tony Windsor made the last federal election a bit difficult because there was a perception that they'd turned their back on Conservative electorates.
That's right, yeah, and it was a very difficult situation for independents, having that hung parliament, and there was a lot of mud being slung, wasn't there? So it didn't really do
a whole lot
for the reputation of a sensible middle ground. It seemed to be branded more as a sort of radical power move, which I don't think was ever the intention.
But I'm excited because we can have another Polworth debate maybe here in the foyer, because apparently, looking at the map again today, if you do go on the Hamilton Highway and you drive just to the other side of the ring road, you're in Polworth. So it's actually very close to Geelong.
It is, yeah. It butts up against Corangamite, doesn't it? And I think the borders have changed. So Dereal's now out and one other small one out. Out of Corangamite and into Polworth. So yeah, maybe wrong. Maybe read the other way around. But yeah,
maybe South Bowen, do you mean? Not Corangamite's federal.
Yeah, of course. Sorry, yes. South Bowen. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so, and it's a big area. You know, that was the other thing. You look at it and you think, gee, it's a lot of ground to cover, isn't it?
It is, and a lot of different people in different quarters. Mm. And also the other thing today I wanted to look at was just this Mikey Fines situation, because people have been fined for not touching on. And Julian Burnside and other lawyers are coming out pro bono, and they're saying that they're going to fight it. And they're looking at things like the calibration records and the service records and the cameras. I just think that they should look at the cameras. If the person's made a reasonable effort to touch on, then you know, I think the fines should be waived. If they haven't, then it's very simple, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. We seem to complicate this system, don't we, here? I'm a terrible example because I'm a bit restricted in how much I can use public transport because I tend to have multi-stopping points. If I travel to Melbourne, for example, I can't really go everywhere effectively by train or tram. I don't really have the time, but it certainly seems quite tricky, and I don't know whether it's just they need some short, sharp communications, but there's a whole sort of nebulous aura that surrounds the Mikey system and how it works and how it doesn't work, and yet when you travel overseas, everything's so easy.
I think for the most part, Mikey gets a lot of very unfair press because when I use it, it seems to be fine.
Yeah, well, maybe that's what it is. It is just that communication piece and a bit of good PR around it that's needed.
I mean, it's much better than the old system because you don't have to carry buckets of coins and make sure you've got the right money every time.
Yeah, that's right. And yet, why not just a credit card as it is everywhere else?
Yeah, well, that would work, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it does. It worked really well.
But I suppose the issue here is just more like the person says they've touched on, but they haven't, and you can't verify, and maybe the standard of proof isn't high enough for people to be fined in a court situation. And then, of course, it undermines the power of police being able to enforce fare evasion.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very tricky one, isn't it? It shouldn't be that hard.
And the Kildare by-election, do you think we might see more? We've only got three candidates so far. Do you think more might still pop up?
Absolutely. I'm sure that there'll be more that still pop up. And I think it'll be great having the forum here. That's really good. It's funny because I think that's the sort of thing that can put people off, the idea of having to, you know, sit on a panel and debate. And it's interesting as a candidate when you turn up and you think, oh, this is all a bit intimidating. Look at all these people. And then when it finishes, you think, oh, I wish I'd had more chance to say more.
Yeah.
You know, it is really, particularly if there's a lot of people. Well, I think we'll end up with about 10.
Okay, fantastic. That'll make for a very lively forum on the 28th of September. And last of all, what do you think about finals all going over to Western Australia? You're a bit of an AFL supporter. Do you think that's part of us becoming a national game, or do you think that it's a bit disappointing that we don't have anything happening in Melbourne, and Melbourne is the real spiritual home?
Oh, look, I think footy's become about, and it is a national game, it's become about TV and entertainment. So ideally, yes, it would be here because that would suit us, but I'm sure that the Westerners would say the same, and it's very much a national game, so I do think it's fine that they go interstate.
Very good. Well, we're going to leave it there, I think, but we've covered a lot of ground today, haven't we?
We sure have. We always do.
We always do. But we'll speak to you this time next week.
Thank you.
Good to speak to you.
Look
have a good one.
Look forward to it. Thanks,
Stephanie
Mitchell.
Asher there.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.